Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Roundball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Danny Shays, Freeman Williams, Joey Devine, Adrian Dantley, Mark Eaton, he's a human troll, Sean Keane, Patreons! Jeff Zong! Thank you, Jeff! Grant Cameron! Thank you, Grant! Jesse! It's Slee! Thank you, Jesse! Musical guest! Rush! And now the temporary host of Roundball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi! It's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Roundball Rock Podcast, and we are back with another brand new episode! I'm here, as always, with my friend and co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I just got back to L.A. today. I drove out from San Francisco. Very exciting. Or as an angry person yelled at me at a gas station today, they called it San Fran Shitsko.
I mean, that's fair.
Pretty good wordplay for Fireball.
Before we have a guest on, but before yeah. I let him speak, we have some business real quick. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Call us on the phone at the number in the description of the episode. Donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/roundrockpod. Follow us on Twitter at roundrockpod. But most importantly, Sean, we have an announcement.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're going to be performing live. In Los Angeles, Thursday, February 13th at the Virgil.
This is show business capital of the world.
Yeah,
guys.
With a bunch of other famous basketball pods. Much more famous basketball people than we are. It's called Pod Star Weekend. It's presented by our friends, the NBA basketball podcast, Airbuds. It's going to feature us. It's going to feature Flagrant Ones. It's going to feature NBA Desktop. It's going to feature Dunktown, Super Hoopers, Horse, Nits from Count the Ding, Langston Kerman, and for some reason, us? Shows are a... You can buy tickets at... And please buy tickets because, look, we can't let the Ringer people win. We need Roundball Rock people there.
So, we're going to have to answer some uncomfortable questions about songs.
Yeah, so please buy tickets if you can be in L.A. Thursday, February 13th at 8 p.m. at nightout.com/events/podstarweekend. Or just, go to Twitter and there's a link.
Yeah, you could probably
Yeah.
There's nothing else is really called Pod Star Weekend.
Yeah. More importantly, Sean, it's not every week that Basketball Twitter invents a new stat.
Yes. You know, it does feel like it's every week that someone in the Utah Jazz or Houston Rockets organization makes up a new stat. But this was a pretty good one. Also because a certain player's performance in this fake stat gave him a fake triple-double, well, which is also something that Twitter likes to go real nuts about.
So there's only one person we know who we wanted to talk about this fake stat with. He's been here, sitting here quietly the entire time. From The Athletic, from the Nerder She Wrote podcast, the best nerd-based basketball podcast on the internet, Coach Dave Dufour. Doof, how you doing?
I'm good. There's always that awkward thing where you're on a podcast and you never know if you're going to get the intro.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there like you're like backstage, like with a curtain.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to be called out, you know? And so I'm laughing at, I think, Sean's joke. And I'm just like over here, like, you know, like trying to stay off them. You know, I love it. It's funny. I've done, I don't know how many thousands of podcasts, mm-hmm. and I'm still like this, like, weirdly awkward moment there. I should just totally have busted up your Don Pardo.
Yeah. I was on the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast this week because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame had their inductions. And I knew they were going to introduce me because I've done that podcast probably 13 times now. And I just ignored it. I just blew through. I started talking like the second after he introed the podcast. I was like, they know I'm on it. My name is in the
description.
The title, most likely.
This is
like
my argument against intros. My argument against intros, like the whole thing where you're like, hey, how are you? Like, we didn't just spend an hour talking before we started recording like everybody does on every podcast, right?
Well, no, this was fresh.
No, yeah, I literally just called him on Skype. You know, no, you didn't. You spent 15 minutes talking about, you know, whatever.
Now, I will say there are times on this show where I've just called people on Skype mid-show.
Oh, I think actually when the one time I've been on, that's what happened.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
do
it was
that.
Very radio.
I made you like a drop and everything. I was going to do that this time, but you offered to be on the whole show. So this is a treat.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you guys are recording pretty late for me. But on the nights where I do the Daily Ding, I'm wrecked for like 2 hours. I can't be up for a morning podcast and then just say, oh, okay, now I'll go to sleep. I'm an awful sleeper, so it worked out.
Well, let's talk about something. I'm going to say this has been a pretty boring season for me thus far. And between this and Kevin Love throwing the ball angrily, it's reinvigorated me. Sean, do you want to walk us through what happened with Rudy Gobert and Jazz respecters and the screen assist?
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah. So, the David Locke,
from the Locked On Sportscast Network.
Locked On Sportscast Network. He's also the radio. He does jazz games on the radio.
Yes.
So he's, you know, the Jazz are the most locked on team, right?
100%. Because Locke is literally locked on to the Jazz.
Yeah, he is. He has a death grip on these guys. So hold on, he tweets a lot. Let me find this. He is the king of giving you a lot of statistical information, but sort of not really giving you context and just cherry picking.
It's also
imaginary
certainly
stats.
Not objective.
Also, always positive. Which, you know, hey. Good for him.
I kind of like that part of it. Yeah.
Right. Because it's very easy when and Utah has struggled a little bit at times, you know, Conley. It's very easy to say, you know, hey, let me tap into the upset part of the fan base and here's a negative stat. Mm-hmm. So I'm cool with positive stats.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I would prefer positive stats, honestly.
Yeah.
Here, I pulled up the tweet, Sean.
Great. Sorry, there's so many.
David Locke tweeted, triple-double for Rudy Gobert last night. 22 points, 18 rebounds, 10 screen assists, in parentheses, that created 23 points, 4 assists, 2 block shots, a steal, and 21 contested shots, which I'm going to say right off the bat, first off, that's a quadruple double if you're just making up stats that have numbers
right.
that are double there.
Yeah, 21 contested shots, great.
Yeah. In fact, it's a quintuple quintuple double because he definitely played at least 30 minutes, right?
Right.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Also, I mean, you know, don't forget stocks, right? So steals plus blocks.
Oh, right. Yeah, you add those. But see, yeah, he only had 3 stocks.
6 of those, right?
No, yeah. 3. 2 blocks.
Oh, he only
shots
had 3 in that game. Oh, okay. All right.
So 3 stocks if we're double counting.
maybe we add that and turnovers and fouls.
Uh-huh,
right?
Yeah,
so like a one big hustle stat. So.
Yeah.
Deflections. How many deflections did he have?
Uh-huh. What about closeouts? Good hard closeouts. How many
high fives?
Yeah.
How many high fives?
Post free throw high fives.
So yeah. I would say Dave, in particular, has been making fun of this stat for 24 hours, and I've been doing it for about 12.
I gotta say, listen, guys, I'm a little bit, I'm ahead of the curve on this. I've been railing against the screen assists, and let's just be honest, like, it's only Utah folks that use this.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this for about 4 months. But mostly, I think it's just gone unnoticed. But it was noticed enough that when that tweet went out, I was tagged by multiple people, and it was alerted to my attention.
Okay, so how long have people been talking about screen assists?
A while. Too long. Because it's fake. Mm-hmm. So, a very long time. It's basically been all season. And I mean, I'm pretty sure I first encountered the term sometime last year. Mm-hmm. And again, like, as far as like in the media or whatever, I understand what they're trying to account for.
Right.
It's just fuzzy math, right? Like like
right.
saying that this one thing is, it doesn't work that way.
I mean, here's what I will say about it. It's very dumb, obviously, but anything they can create to like get guys paid more money, I'm pro.
Yes.
Especially like, you know, like the Shane Battier stats, you know what I mean? The like right. unquantifiable, yeah. trying to quantify that.
Sure.
But triple double means something. That's my
right,
problem.
Right, right.
Okay. Now, if I could push back on that, I mean,
well, no,
yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. As a stat, it doesn't. Sense. But yeah, I mean, in a dictionary sense, yeah.
In a not inventing words,
right?
Sense,
right? It would be like it would to me the screen assist. It's very much like the hockey assist,
mm-hmm.
right? In that, yes, okay. We can see that this screen happened and it did help lead to a score.
Mm-hmm.
Great. But it's not an assist.
But also the like hockey assist makes sense in hockey.
Right.
Because of the times the second pass is it's less a less confined space.
Sure.
If
right.
you will.
Yeah,
you
right.
know what I mean?
Think
you have to yes.
I think the hockey assist still makes sense in basketball, but so much of that is function of offense. Right.
Right.
Like
yeah.
the offense calls for this and this and that, you know, not to get too in the weeds on that. But I can make an argument that a screen assist is perfectly fine and a thing that is good for a player to even know, you know, it's mm-hmm. something, it's uh-huh. a guy who's asked to screen a lot. Hey, at least what I'm doing is contributing to the offense,
yes.
right? Instead of just, you know, like setting pin down screens or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with that, but it's not part of a triple double.
No.
I also think that, much like John Stockton's dominance in the assist category.
I was just going to bring up something with John Stockton.
They had a notorious, maybe the Orlando Magic scorekeeper that one year that Scott Skiles had 30 assists in a game. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where the Jazz guy retired to. But I think for his career, Stockton got like three more assists at home or something like that, where he inbounded to a guy who Karl Malone then dribbled 40 feet. And dunked.
Right.
I was actually going to say I'm glad we don't keep the hockey assist in basketball, because John Stockton would get the hockey assist and the hockey assist for posting, then the repost pass, then the score.
Right, right. the greatest thing is I do feel like Dave was personally responsible for people creating making fun of screens for 24 straight hours.
Yeah,
it's still happening now.
It's actually passe at this point. I actually quit earlier tonight. I made one, and I said, I think I'm done.
My last one was retweeting a screenshot of Markelle Fultz having a triple-double with the quote, "How many screens, though?" But I did like three or four.
It's funny. I didn't realize. So I had thought to myself privately, did I start this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. It's funny to hear that Keen thinks I did. So,
I mean, oops. I don't feel like you necessarily began it, but your spirit like animated the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, cause because I kind of went on a little bit of a Twitter rant, of jokes.
Well, it's so jazz specific too. It's always like jazz people who need to insist it drives them crazy that people don't appreciate Rudy Gobert, which, you know, they appreciate him enough, but it always goes too far. It's always like, why, how are you not gonna go as a top seven player in the NBA?
Right, right.
I would like to announce a new stat I've invented, by the way, while we're doing this. They're called bench assists.
Ooh, this is good. Okay.
It counts the number of points that the bench scored while Rudy Gobert was resting, because they wouldn't have scored those points if he was in the game.
It's a really good point. I have one myself. Well, I wanted to call them rebound assists, but I wanted to pick something that Bill Simmons would embrace more. So this is for like a Robin Lopez type who boxes out a guy who might have gotten a rebound while his teammate gets a rebound, and we're going to call them prebounds, because I think Bill Simmons would embrace that term. It's like, look, he doesn't show up in the box score, but he's one of the best prebounders in the league. I mean, I think you could give Rudy Gobert some credit for that.
I gotta tell you, I'm gonna send that to some agents I know. That was really good. It's really good.
I feel like it's sort of
accounted for to a degree.
Yeah.
Like it there are stats that you could actually like figure out who's a good prebounder and who's not.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But I think if somebody just an agent just started saying it about some draft prospect and didn't mention it, no follow up, just kept saying prebounds, you could make it a thing. Like if just a couple people said it but didn't really explain it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just get an army of Forbes.com bloggers to pick up the torch.
Really good.
So yeah, Jazz fans, let's just. A message to you from me. This Dave Dufour is not saying this, obviously. Sean,
This wouldn't have gotten so big if it hadn't come right on the heels of that blog post about the Jazz being disrespected by NBA Twitter.
Oh my god.
It was a perfect storm. It was a perfect storm.
The NBA Twitter thing. Did we talk about that, Sean? I forget.
Well, we actually did not talk about it because let's talk about it.
Why is the NBA just Twitter now?
Yeah, idea that there's one unified voice.
Right.
Instead of it just being like, most of the time NBA Twitter is like, let's make fun of this same thing.
Yeah.
Why are the ratings down?
Well, you guys know my theory. I think the league and media partners cater way too much to this niche thing, which is NBA Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And you miss...
Which I'm officially not a part of, by the way. I want people to realize this.
You left officially. No. Left J.J. Redick last year.
No, Worldwide Wob didn't follow me back, so I just unfollowed him.
Oh.
You're out of
which
the circle.
Which means I'm officially not part of NBA Twitter. Yeah.
That's how you. Did you find another Twitter to join?
I'm part of I have one toe in film Twitter and another toe in macrame Twitter, but
yeah.
I think I'm the king of fireball Twitter. We'll talk about that later.
I pretty much just follow comedians, basketball people, and then just different Hulk accounts. Yeah. I still think it's cool. I still think it's really funny. Oh my God. I have to say, if you've ever seen some of those film crit Hulk things where he's talking about like trying to grow as a person
and then it's and about not being like too harsh on people,
but it's all in, but it's all in, it's all in caps. And he's like, me rethink attitude. Hulk react too quickly.
I want there to be like a like overlanding Twitter that I could join. It just talks about like driving off road and camping.
I'm sure there is.
And then yell at each other about like the solo stove, you know, versus old Coleman. No, the old Coleman is going to be the mid-range jumper overland Twitter.
Dave, I once... The first Twitter fight I ever got in 2011 was with recumbent bike Twitter.
Yeah.
I tweeted, I don't even remember a joke, but I tweeted a joke about recumbent bikes.
Yeah.
And like three people, including the editor of Recumbent Bike magazine, got mad at me. And my only response was, glad to see you're not taking this lying down, you know, like when you're riding your bicycle.
It was like, that was maybe even before I'd really seen Political Reply Guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Those may have been the first Reply Guys.
Yeah, it was like 2010. I got attacked by recumbent bicycle Twitter.
So they had like an alert, or they were searching, right? Like, which is
they were searching recumbent bike. Yeah, yeah.
It's obviously although such a totally normal thing to do.
Yeah, should start tagging Recumbent Bike magazine in some tweets.
No, Recumbent Bike magazine and Beyonce. You gotta get the Bayhive going against the recumbents.
But I do think there's a certain amount of echo chamber effect with some of this, where reporters are so bored, they're just constantly talking about the ratings being down, which leads to the ratings being down.
Well, no, hold on. The ratings actually were down, right?
No, 100%. But yeah. There's a stand-up comedy adage where an audience is good if they're small until a comic mentions how small they are, and then they immediately look around and they're like,
and they get
wait a second, there are only five people here. Am I not cool for being here?
Well, it's kind of because, I mean, live events are like that, but stand-up comedy is especially weird that you've showed up and sometimes paid money to see people essentially talk to you from slightly higher than you're sitting.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you went to go
kind of have to,
Dikembe Mutombo or something.
Right. Right. And you just don't want to, mention how strange it is that everyone's there. You have to distract people enough with the jokes and the stuff that no one's thinking, well, they're all just going to sit here silently this whole time. That's,
but But
how awkward is it? We're all facing this guy. Anyway, but yeah, you break the spell when you mentioned.
And so that, do think I will say I've kind of watched less games since people started talking about how people are watching less games.
Joey, what's your theory?
I think my theory is
not really talked about this on the podcast.
My theory is that, like, I think casual fans don't know who's on any team anymore because everybody left.
Were like 170 people changed teams last summer.
Nobody really likes rooting for Laundry.
Right.
That's my stance on it, is that, like, and the NBA knows this, which is why they love, you know, they push the player, right? Mm-hmm. A lot. It's not so much the team. And so, you know, they understand that LeBron has fans or whatever. But the truth is, I think it's hard for fans in general to just say, all right, yay, that's my team. And then, okay, now I got 12 new guys.
I also think LeBron joining a team that was already a draw is a problem because, like, more people aren't going to watch the Lakers. They were going to watch the Lakers anyway. They just stopped watching the Cavs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Bulls.
It subtract Cleveland.
Right.
You didn't really add. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, theoretically.
And the Bulls are awful.
Theoretically, go ahead.
You only got one big team now.
Yeah. Like, theoretically, the Nets will help that next year, I think, maybe. In theory,
is KD a draw?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know,
right?
I think if it's him and Kyrie, I think that's enough of. I think he's definitely a draw.
I mean, there might be Clipper syndrome with them though, too.
Yeah,
I mean, there's more problems with the Clippers, but, like, you know, the Clippers just don't have any fans. Like, well,
Brooklyn?
No, there are a bunch
that's,
of fans.
No, that's Wait. What I'm saying is yeah. like
it's I don't know that KD's got the, like, ravenous fans like LeBron does, right?
That's definitely true. I feel like this is inherently, yeah, the league likes to market big superstars, and there are a few people who really have that I will follow this dude anywhere. But honestly, what LeBron's doing is essentially unprecedented in sports. To have someone so good be on, you know, his fourth team.
And look at how much gravity he has, right? Like, he doesn't just go to a team. He also pulls in players from other teams, right? Like, the entire league, like, it is LeBron centric. As a player, which is wild because he's 35 years old, but still, like, and that, I think that's just hard on the teams that he's not on. And like you just said, he went to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now you literally lost Cleveland.
And then the Warriors not existing this year also doesn't help.
Yeah.
Well, and a really large number of guys are hurt or not playing very much. You know, you've no Kyrie, no KD, no Steph, no Clay.
Did you guys see the Kevin O'Connor thing? So Kevin O'Connor talked about the Google Trends and how Zion was like, has been higher all season than Luka and Giannis combined. And he's been out, right? So, like, two of your marquee attractions, Steph Curry and Zion Williamson, have basically been out all season.
Well, I hate to tell people, but that portends poorly for the NBA wanting to get out of college basketball as well.
Oh, that they're following. Well, okay, this is what I would say, though. The guy that is like a LeBron is very rare.
Right.
And it is marketed as if there are many players who are like that are individually a draw, and it's just not the case. So what you have instead is, people are going to fall back on their team loyalties, which they've had for decades. And so say you're even in that minority of being a Brooklyn Nets fan, where you're maybe 6 months away from there not being any Brooklyn Nets that weren't on the team. You know what I mean? Like, it could be a completely fresh team
whatsoever.
Spencer Dinwiddie,
yeah,
and then a bunch of mercenaries.
Kyle Kuzma is the longest tenured Laker.
Yeah,
right. And I mean, that's also.
I don't think that's healthy.
They have enough famous guys. But yeah, it's not good. And I think one thing that the Clippers do at least have going for them is, you know, they've got Montrez and Lou, and there's a little more continuity, at least from the scrappy teams that people embrace.
Yeah, but I don't think that works for the people watching only TNT games.
Oh, right. No. I just mean in general.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, you're kind of gone.
Think about the guys that are close to being a draw, like LeBron. Like, you've got Giannis.
But they're not close. That's the problem.
Well, right. But they also they don't get built up by the media partners. It's all, well, you know, hey, Giannis is going to be a free agent in, you know, 19 months or whatever, right?
Like, see, I think
that stuff matters.
I actually think the Giannis thing is he hasn't played LeBron in a playoff series yet.
Right.
Or the Warriors. That's simply right. He hasn't been boosted. You become famous by either playing Steph Curry or playing LeBron James. Or playing James Harden in the playoffs. You think
James Harden in the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, the Rockets, I think, just are a weird draw. Maybe not anymore.
No, James Harden is also very famous and very easy. Like, he represents a very specific thing, too.
Yeah.
What does Kawhi Leonard represent? If you're a casual fan.
Kawhi Leonard's signature thing is not playing. Like, he's good at a lot of things, but the thing that Kawhi does that sets him apart from other players is load management.
It's so ridiculous.
That's bad, so obvious. Like, Steph Curry has the step back three, LeBron James has the block, and Kawhi Leonard, the third best player in the league, has load management.
Yeah, and he also kind of doesn't really show emotions and, treats basketball a little bit like he's a union rep.
I mean, that's cool. Like, I like union reps.
I'm thinking like the guy on the Deuce who's the union rep and becomes like a pimp. But just someone who's like, hey, you know, I care about winning, but also I care that we're all getting our mandated 15-minute breaks every 2 hours. That's my true passion, is for not trying too hard. And people are wondering, like, yeah, well, I mean, they certainly could market things better, but yeah, you've got a lot of Clipper games, Warrior games, and Pelicans games.
Well, and they flexed all the Warrior games out, which is good because they're hard to watch. But
look when the bright lights shine, that's where Glenn Robinson III truly thrives.
Do you see that block he had tonight?
Yeah. I wish he played with the athleticism that I know he has.
Right. That guy, they're going to get, I think that they'll wind up moving him here toward the deadline. They probably could pick up a second round pick for him.
I think he's pretty good. I actually think they'd be happy if he came and was like their ninth man when they're good next year, but I don't think that's going to happen because I think he's outplayed that, but
I think he's better than that contract. Yeah.
I think, you know, I really was thinking that, I mean, Alec Burks can help a lot of teams, I think, too. He's not going to be like a real dramatic addition, but, you know,
could he be Jordan Clarkson?
Exactly. Yeah. Could he be the seventh man on the Sixers? You know, just some guy who can,
he'd be in and out of the starting lineup.
Yeah. What's that?
He'd be in and out of the starting lineup.
Anyway, it's so weird to speculate about Warriors trades. It's like we've gone back in time and we're like, you know what? Jason Coffey's got something here.
Yeah.
I'm still mad that they're doing the Anthony Randolph reclamation project with Marquise Chris.
I know. Look,
that is annoying.
Actually, you know
it's
what?
Offensive. It's a little bit offensive.
You know what? That's actually our top, our first story. Let's go to the news.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right. That's right. You heard our man Doof say it. The ride is back in Golden State, my friends. Marquese Chris is what they signed him to, a two-way deal, which... Let's talk about Marquese Chris and Anthony Randolph here. Sean, why is this Marquese Chris and not my man, Ant Rand?
The Warriors are good at, they're just trying to get his bird rights. He's young. They feel like they could get him really cheap next year and turn him into like 80% of JaVale McGee, but also young blood that they want to harvest for those VIP suites. Pretty clean living, very athletic. That's what you want. You want your blood to have hops and fast twitch platelets, and I think Marquese Chris has all of that. So
for
the price of a two-way contract, come on.
Can I anger you?
Yeah.
Real quick. Do you want to know what Anthony Randolph is doing right now for Real Madrid?
I was going to ask you about Anthony Randolph, but I do want to say right before we do that, San Francisco Tech billionaires love hops in both their blood and their IPAs. All right. Yes. You've become something of a Svengali for... Serbian basketball. You break all the news, and I know Anthony Randolph is technically Slovenian. I have to
for
ask
national
you,
team for purposes.
No, he's officially a Slovenian citizen. Yeah. So not just sure. He's in he's right. Slovenian now.
I don't think he's paying any taxes there. Let's put it that way.
So let's check in with Anthony Randolph. What's he doing right now,
all
my
right,
friend?
So in EuroLeague play, 16 games so far. Per 36 minutes, and you know, it's EuroLeague, so take that into account. 19.5 points a game, about 1.5 steal, about 6.5 rebounds. He's shooting 50% on threes on 8.3 attempts a game.
Get him back in the league! I can't take it anymore.
Listen,
I need to see that sad face playing. On a Friday night.
This is a center. And he takes 8.3 threes a game and 4.8 twos a game.
So sick. And, you know,
he was ahead of his time. He was ahead of his time.
People didn't understand him.
He was like Giannis -1.1.
He's had actually a really, really good career in Europe. He's been really good. He probably should have been back in the NBA 3 years ago.
Yeah. He never should have left.
Well, yes. Okay. So, like, if he came in now, that would never happen. But
Carl and Kurt Rambis, and I don't even remember who coached the Knicks when he was there. Like, that's just like a recipe to send a guy like that out of the NBA.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to say those. What was that?
His time. Jan Vesely ahead of his time.
Josh Smith too. Get him back in the league.
Coach, actually.
What I was going to say is those 4.2 twos he's taken. You know, at least two of those are like trying to dunk really hard on people too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make an Anthony Randolph EuroLeague highlight reel.
And the other two are airballed 20 footers. I know, but still. Sean, we had a trade today. Pincers up, baby.
Did. Yes.
I got to play the trades drop. I almost forgot.
Trades. That's right. We're talking about trades.
/ Capspace URLs. You remember we talk about Capspace all the time in the program. / Capspace. Let them know that you came from us. Limited time only. Terms apply.
Protected picks.
You can even create a beautiful website while listening to this podcast. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their website. Create yours today. That's wix.com/woj, W-O-J, to get 10% off.
Rights to Euros that are never coming.
Enter code NBA at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Expiring salaries.
If you missed it, we launched the Recapables Billions podcast on our Recapables feed.
Treating people like their assets and not people.
ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, L-O-W-E post. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Even robots know that basketball is a business, so players shouldn't have feelings because of business. Trades.
All right, Sean, walk us through this trade.
You guys don't do those drops live?
No. Don't bust the magic. Do you do your drops live?
I can.
Play one right now.
You're making me pull up apps on the fly.
That's what we do to all our guests. You got to earn it.
Please use what you've got.
Welcome to the Back to Back Pod on the Athletic Podcast Network. This is Nerder, She Wrote with your.
There you go. Boom.
That's impressive. Effects. That's real. That's real podcasting.
Hey. Yeah.
They don't call it Nerder, She Wrote for no reason.
Sean, pincers up.
Okay.
Our favorite Canadians, favorite player, Alan Crabb, yes, has been traded to Minnesota. So closer to their border.
That's true. Alan Crabb went to Minnesota, back to Atlanta, which, just to remind you, is the team that Alan Crabb was on. Mm-hmm. Well, was on. And they got Randy Ledoux's favorite player, Trevion Graham, and Jeff Teague. He's coming home.
This is Slam Up with Brett Sampson and Randy Ledoux. Analytics, friendship, efficiency, and promo codes. These guys are fucking dorks.
Welcome to another edition of Slammed Up. It is a brief one this time because I am in between court dates, and Randy Ledoux has a lot of political work, but this is a very exciting trade. One of the biggest trades that we've seen, we're going to see, or have ever seen in the NBA. And here to walk me through it with me as often, Randy Ledoux. How are you doing, Randy?
Not good.
Oh, no. What's the matter?
There was a disgusting trade in the NBA today. And my Oppo research for Amy Klobuchar about Andrew Yang is not going well.
Oh, no. That's
I'm trying
too
to get
terrible.
Him to say he sent her a dick pic.
Well, I mean, I've seen his dick. He's not going to show that to people.
Well, anyway, how dare Minnesota trade Trevion Graham, the switchiest player in the NBA?
One of the switchiest players in NBA history. This is just mindless. Why would you trade for a large contract for a man who's on the wrong side of 20 and a half? And, you know, the point when the human body begins to break down, obviously, and to with Jeff Teague to get Alan Crabb on your team, you're going to have to disinfect that locker room.
I will say there is one thing you're going to like, Brett.
What is that?
All of the contracts were large expirings.
Oh my God. Yes. So they all represent cap space or potential bird rights or potential sign and trade candidates, even though it would lead to being hard capped at the, what's that?
Flexibility.
Oh, flexibility, hard capping, just rock hard capping at the apron. Oh,
the only thing that could make this better for you.
What's that?
Is if there were protected second round picks, but there are.
Oh my God. Oh,
no,
conditional.
No picks.
Could they expire? Are there any pick swaps? Player to be named later.
Yeah.
Anything. Cash, trading hands.
You do like
rare
cash birds, training
rare
hands.
Animals, endangered animals, training hands. Give me something. I need it. I don't, Randy, I'll admit, I'm having a little trouble waiting for the trade deadline. I'm jonesing, as they say.
Anyway, I have to go. Senator Klobuchar is making me wash all these combs.
Oh my gosh, that's
it, with my that's, tongue.
Why are you working there, Randy?
Money's good.
Oh,
and also I like being degraded.
Yeah, that is true. You little sloppy little worm. Also, thanks, Randy, for being here, and thanks, Trevion Grahams, our sponsor, and also a delicious switchy breakfast cereal. Trevion Grahams, they contain exactly 11% of literally everything on the government's recommended daily allowance list. You can put any kind of milk on them. They mix. It's kind of a glue cereal. And if you act now with promo code Trevion Graham is the greatest player in NBA history.
We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, and they will throw in a sample bag of Devonte Grahams, which are very similar, except they're quite spicy.
Much smaller.
Yeah, much smaller. Kind of move through your system a lot faster, I've noticed, also, in my efforts. Well, that's it for the Slam Dunk Spectacular. I am going to be here just edging until the NBA trade deadline. Back to you, Sean and Joey.
And the only person who's ever been on the show that we respect, Dave Dufour. Well, that was that.
Does that happen a lot? Or
it happens every once in a while. I don't know if it happens a lot.
Ironically, we signed them to a long-term contract.
Yeah, we can't get
even
out
though
of
they
it.
Were yelling at us to sign them year to year with a bunch of options and
mutual termination.
I honestly thought we were just doing a mock off-season podcast, and we ended up.
Anyway,
as long as you didn't do the sign and trade and hard cap yourself. That
yeah.
Dave, explain to us basketball morons why this trade, which appears to make zero sense, happened.
I think that Jeff Teague was not well liked.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the Fast Break Breakfast tweet that everyone embedded in their things today. Shouts to our friend Keith.
But Minnesota also essentially didn't really save any money, but they did create a roster spot. Mm-hmm. So if they need to do an imbalanced trade, they've now got the
Robert Covington for two people.
Sure. Something like that. So they create a roster spot. And honestly, I think Crabb, if they wanted to attach a pick, probably has more value than Teague would.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, too.
Just because he's a shooter.
He has a skill.
Right.
Jeff Teague does not really.
Yeah.
Hey, have any skills right now.
He's 39%
was a player of the month. Well, one-fifth of a player of a month.
One-fifth of a player of the month. Now I know why they made this trade, Doof. They got to sell those tickets in Atlanta. That's why you got to draft. True. You got to trade Luka Doncic away. You need somebody that the fans in Atlanta will come out for, and that guy's name is Jeff motherfucking Teague.
Well, you know, he's been on an Atlanta winner before. So
that is actually pretty rare. I heard they were trying to bring back Mookie Blaylock recently, but he is still incarcerated.
Anyway, weird trade. Hope we get some better ones. Even though, isn't that a little part of the NBA Twitterization?
Yes.
Where it's like everyone wants trades more than to watch a team play basketball.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, my guy Waz said that fans are starting to relate more to front office people than to the athletes.
Which, like, already happened in baseball, too.
Right.
Right. It's not good.
Right.
Well, it's great. It's great for, like, podcasts, but it's not good for the game.
Okay, so you know a lot about NBA front offices, right?
Yeah. I mean,
what
a fair amount.
Percentage, sure. Yeah. What percentage of the job would you say the GM is actually making trades?
I mean, you're constantly like keeping your pulse on what's happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, some trades take a long time to come together, but it's like shoot a text here, you know, take a phone call there. But the majority of the job is definitely not making trades. I mean, right. It's a lot of time theorizing, certainly. So maybe it's, if you want to add like that in,
but a lot of the time, like dealing with like weird contract negotiations for other people in the like doing budgets and stuff. Isn't that mostly
what we
want to
blaze pizza?
Yeah,
do we want to blaze pizza in the arena?
Yeah.
You know, I guess it depends on the team, but listen, there really aren't that many trades when you think about how guys change teams. You know,
right.
More of that happens in free agency. So I don't know. I'm just not a big, fan of trades. And maybe that's because I watch like the Spurs all these years where they don't make trades and somehow like things work out for them. And I think that maybe there's something to that. Like,
this is your
squad. Make it work.
You know who like never makes trades? Bob Myers. Half of what the Warriors did in between Steve Kerr and Mark Jackson was like just having the same guys.
Right. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, let's just roll with this. Yeah.
Yeah. James Michael McAdoo, you know, he's played 14 minutes a game. Maybe we could use a backup center. Nah, he's got it.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he's playing in Greece.
He's getting owned by Anthony Randolph, I'm sure. All right.
I do think that Minnesota will become 15% less depressing without Jeff Teague.
I agree. He's really
just like
depressing.
This is a long term move for the health of Karl Anthony Towns' soul.
All right, we should talk about one more story.
Oh yeah.
Let's
talk about the
Doof, would you rather talk about the big three not playing basketball anymore or Kyrie Irving?
Definitely.
I was thinking maybe the other one.
Or
no, we'll talk about that on the Patreon.
Yeah, or do you want to talk about Kawhi and Drake?
Not interested. Although I do think that's kind of funny. Let's talk about the big three.
You're talking to, because you know Sean's a big three expert, right?
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
I covered the first 2 years of the big three and went to the draft and the practice. And I mean, the best piece of content we have. A lot of audio of Joey asking players if they're going to fuck around and get a triple double
at the first big three draft.
We were on the and Ice red Cube carpet. Also answers the question.
Oh man,
with an incredibly hungover Mike Bibby and a Smush Parker did not end up getting drafted, but he did attend the draft in the same clothes he was wearing on Saturday night.
The only other question I asked at the first ever Big Three draft was I asked Deshaun Stevenson why he if there was a fee on the ATM he had in his kitchen. I don't know if you remember that famous picture. And he said yes, and it's $5.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
So the big three does not play basketball anymore.
No, that's out. Oh, dude, the best thing I have for the big three draft, by the way, is from the second year at the workout. It's Rick Barry trying to convince these guys to shoot underhand free throws. Mm-hmm. And then he proceeds to just miss and miss and miss.
he's not Bob Cousy.
I think, he would get so mad. Bob Cousy beat him in an underhand free throw competition. He might kill Bob Cousy.
So the big three announced that they no longer play basketball in a press release titled "The Big Three is Who We Are, Fireball is What We Play." And Fireball is spelled with all caps and the number three afterwards, which... First off, both an E and a B could be a three.
Right. Right. Is it French?
Yeah.
So
maybe we're fireballet. you know.
Well, also the ball is going to be red because it's a fireball.
I'm going through all the rule changes.
I'm sorry. Okay.
All right. So
team issued gardening gloves, and the ball will be set on fire.
I have to say this quote is insane.
Which one?
There are a lot. Okay, I'll read this quote.
Sure. Yeah.
There are a lot of sports out there that require similar skill sets, like MMA and boxing, football and rugby, baseball and cricket. Our fans let us know that we're playing something extremely unique. Fireball 3, which is nothing like the typical 3-on-3 FIBA game coming to the Olympics. So they're nothing like the NBA and nothing like Olympic 3-on-3.
And that's a quote from Ice Cube.
That is Ice Cube himself speaking.
Yeah. So wait, are they trying to go like XFL?
No, it's kind of, but it's not. No, this to me is straight up
slam ball.
No. This is.
Oh, it's rock and jock.
No. Sorry. This is fucking straight up ABA shit, dude. Like changing the ball. We don't play basketball. We have music festivals now every Saturday.
Oh, right.
The ball is red. It's like this is like total like this is gonna fail if something doesn't work. So here's 7 ideas.
Do you guys think the Big Three would be better if they went regional instead of doing the barnstorming?
I do.
Yeah. Like if I could go down and watch, you know, like $20, watch the Big Three, you know, a couple nights, they could probably do an 82 game season.
I mean, honestly, what they should do is just keep it in one place. Like, just be like, yeah, Vegas. Oh, that's Vegas. Where they play the Big Three. Oh, you go see genius. Big Three games in Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, the first year they were doing more random locations, and I think the second season and the third season, it's all NBA arenas.
Yeah.
But the first year they were going to Tulsa.
Oh.
They went to Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah, they went to Seattle.
Yeah, no, they should just be in Vegas.
Yeah. Agreed.
Man. Yeah. Film Tillman Fertitta.
So anyway, here are some things they're doing.
Just buy the Big Three.
How many teams are there now, Joey? There's a lot.
I don't know. You're but you.
I'm the expert.
Anyway,
sorry.
Here are some things they're doing. First thing they're doing, they're lowering the minimum age. The Big Three will lower the minimum age to qualify from athletes from 27 to 22, with younger exceptions in hardship cases.
And can I tell you? I think that's insane.
Yes.
Because they're talking about how they want to escape the stigma of it being a retirement league.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is. That's the whole point.
No, but you know.
Why you want to watch anonymous 22-year-olds?
It's why we entertained it at all.
No, but I have.
It's the only reason.
I have a theory about what this is about. I think they're giving the balls a team. It's going to be LeVar coaching and LiAngelo as the star.
I mean, they're not going to play the games in Chino Hills, though. That he does know that, right? Oh, maybe his franchise will be in Lithuania. Okay, there's still only 12 teams, which is up from the original 8.
But yes, it is insane. This one I like. This rule is tight. The next one. The next bullet point, bring the fire. Once per half, a team can challenge a foul call, resulting in an in-game one-on-one possession with the victor winning the call.
Uh-oh.
I mean, they should do that in the regular NBA. I mean, just to save time.
Yeah, that rule is awesome. That, like, look...
They need to bring that to the NFL.
No replay, just fucking one-on-one. That rules. That would be a cool made-up stat. How many fouls do you win? you have a one-on-one guy just to play the foul shot.
Are you guys down with King of the Court at All-Star?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I worry it would be boring like when they tried horse. Like, horse shouldn't have been boring, but the guys wanted to win really bad, so they took threes. Really boring shots.
Right.
Kevin Durant just basically took threes until Rajon Rondo
couldn't hit them anymore.
I mean, he hit a lot of undefended threes. Like, that's kind of a secret when you're watching horse. You're like, oh, these guys can kind of hit any shot when there's no one playing defense.
Right.
Even the bad shooters can.
But yeah, like, yeah. What they should have told them is, like, no, this is a trick shot only horse game.
Or just made it pig.
Right. But no, because then they also just would have shot threes still. No, one
Make it pig and only trick shots. Only.
Yeah. They should do that. They should bring that back.
Yeah. Trick shots only.
The big three should do it.
Yeah, the big three absolutely should do it. And Baron Davis would win it every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
I have seen LeVar do lose two three-point shootouts at big three games. At separate big three games.
They also said, all athletes welcome. The Big Three will hold open tryouts for athletes to qualify for the Big Three Combine. Professional basketball experience no longer required. Dude, one of these guys is going to get so hurt. And I mean one of the, like, 43-year-old men playing against these guys in a combine?
Which person from the Ringer is going to try out for the Big Three?
Oh. I mean, we should make Josh Androsky do it.
Yeah, he already tried out for the Arena Football League.
Well,
and
he didn't. We were going to make him, but he didn't.
Wait, didn't he do a thing where he went to the KISS team's tryout?
Yeah, but I don't think he actually tried out. I think he just...
Oh, he just did about having him out or something?
Yeah. The Big Three wants the best athletes in the world, regardless of sporting experience. In the same manner as the NFL takes the best from various sports, this could mean, get this, two sport athletes, overlooked basketball stars, and some athletes choosing fireball over other sports, i.e. NFL tight ends.
So we're just going to get like a bunch of the lesser Gronkowski brothers are going to be in the Big Three now.
How much money are they paying?
It can't be that much.
I don't know.
I mean, they do have a national TV deal. I mean, they seem like they're very good on the business side of things, but.
Well, ever since they got
really
Roger Mason out of there, who was like colluding
Roger Mason
with
was the colluding United with Arab people from Emirates. Qatar. Yeah. That was also very weird.
And then also, of course, the fireball. The league will use a new all red ball known as all caps fireball.
Now, they're not being sponsored by the whiskey, though.
No. Seems like a mistake.
I have to say, having seen the pace of the Big Three action... Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think of a ball that was on fire. Like, the ice ball seems closer because it's more like, you know, these guys aren't moving as fast anymore. And also, you could put the ice ball on your aching back after the game.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, I got to tell you, I'm on the website right now because I wanted to see. All right, what's this ball?
It's not red enough.
It's a regular basketball that just says... Fireball. Okay.
But
so.
It's not red enough, right? No, it's still a little orangey.
It looks a little bit like they just made a mistake at the factory. And maybe that's what happened.
It's a little too red.
They're like, look, we can get you a deal on these slightly distressed. We screwed them up. The NBA won't take them. And Ice Cube's like, all right.
There's a wave ball. I don't know if you guys have used one of those where it's got more, you know, dimples essentially for shooting. That's what they should be using. Mm-hmm. Lean into that gimmick. Remember when Kobe used to do the commercials for the ball that had the built-in pump?
Uh-huh, I had one.
Was it
the
worst pump of all time?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, they should add that.
It also would rattle around
ball.
And make you dribble weird.
Because it would break. Yeah. So, yeah, they should also have one of those on the ball. And, you know,
on this
guys can make a big scene out of it, right?
On this press release, there's also a really funny thing to point out. And I think Al Harrington is the one making them do this. In the section that leading up to, the new sport is the result of game innovations, unique rules, and league policies introduced by the Big Three over its first three seasons, including, and it's, the bullet points are single foul shots, 14-second clock, 4-point shot, coach challenges, player empowerment, league mental health policy, and the last one is CBD. The Big Three encourages player choice in the use of CBD for recovery.
Yeah. It is Al Harrington, and the reason, well, because he is a two-time winner of the Too Hard, Too Guard award in the Big Three. Those twos are the number two. So, yeah, they listen to him. He's a king.
Well, I think that's our show, right? Well, yeah, our portion, we've got a... the Oscar nominations came out this week.
Oh, yeah.
And Brooke and Robin Lopez are here to talk about the nominees. So let's go to that right now.
Brooke and Robin Lopez at the movies. Twin brothers in who? And fandom. DC versus Marvel. Offense versus defense. Nerds who are jocks. Post-ops versus hard screens. Jocks who are nerds. Cain versus Abel. The Snyder Cut. Take it away, Brooke. Or Robin. I'm not really sure who is who.
Hey, Robin.
Hello, Brooke.
It's an exciting week here at the Lopez headquarters. With the Oscar nominations finally coming out.
Finally, it's movie's most glamorous and important night.
Hollywood's biggest night. Just like me and you, the NBA's biggest twins.
That's true. This is kind of like the movie's conference finals. That's the highest level of playoffs that I can really even visualize.
Markieff and Marcus are basically the NBA's version of the Golden Globes, and we're the NBA's Oscars when it comes to sizes of twins.
That's true. That's really true. I don't think those Plumleys are twins at all. Marshall once said he was one, but I don't believe him.
He's a liar.
He's a liar, but he's a troop now, so we have to just except what he says is truth.
So should we get right to it?
Let's do it!
All right. Best Picture. There are 8 nominees. Once again, we've got Parasite. Did you see it?
I was kind of scared of that movie. But it did kind of remind me of a certain person that lived in my house when I was growing up.
Oh, really? Because it also reminded me of a certain person that slept on the bottom bunk in our room when I was growing up.
Oh, there was someone who was an actual parasite to the resources of the family by getting so fat.
Who was that?
That was you!
I'm not fat! You're fat!
You were really fat when you were 7.
No, you were.
No, you were fatter. You ate more of the snacks.
All right. Our next nominee is, of course, Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You know, I would say that I've seen a lot of Quentin Tarantino films over the years, and this one is the closest to a good old-fashioned rollicking adventure that I've seen from him in some time.
I would say Kill Bill Volume 2 is more of a rollicking adventure.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time.
And it's one where they go to Japan. In 2, she gets buried.
No, but doesn't she train in 1? I mean, in 2?
Oh, she does train.
Yeah, that's like a real rollicking adventure tale. The training sequence. Any good rollicking adventure has to have a flashback to training for your skills.
This one only had a flashback to a murder.
What
did you think?
I liked it, but I've got to say it was a little confusing because I thought I was going to watch a movie about Charles Manson.
Yeah.
But then it's mostly a movie about a man on a television show set.
Yeah, it really is. It was behind the scenes, and I just love a look at the industry.
You do. All right. 1917.
I like this movie because it was like a Robin Lopez box score. One shot.
See, I like this movie because it's like a Brook Lopez Brooklyn Nets box score. 19 points, 17 rebounds, lose by
all
7.
All alone, no help ever.
Exactly.
And sometimes they bring in older guys that are just going to screw things up and leave anyway.
Paul Pierce was my Colin Firth.
Wow, that's a really good analogy.
Thank you. All right, our next movie is Marriage Story.
Brooke, I have a confession to make.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
I watched this one with my girlfriend because I have a girlfriend, Brooke.
What?
You have a girlfriend, right?
Yeah, you can't shut up about it.
And we fought after this. We had an argument. Mm. We didn't fight like when somebody punches a wall out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
But then we actually had a good frank discussion of the issues in our relationship and how we didn't want to end up like the tragic characters in that film. And then the next day when I went to practice, I saw that Bango the Bucks mascot had accidentally torn a vintage poster from Steamboat Willie that I have inside my locker. And then I punched a hole in the wall then.
I've got to say, I have a similar story, sort of. When I watched Marriage Story, I thought mainly about how there's a person in my life who I fight with all the time.
Uh-huh.
And who I think is really annoying.
And it's hard to live with them, right?
And how one time I lived in New York and this other person lived in Los Angeles. But the difference is it made me really upset that I don't ever want to get a divorce from that person because I love him too much.
No, but it's almost like it shows that love and hate are not opposites, that they're two sides of the same coin.
Exactly. I love you, Robin.
I love you too, Brooke.
All right.
I don't like your cat, though.
I hate your cat. I also hate your hair. All right, our next movie is Little Women.
Wow, you know, I really thought at first that we were going to be seeing a rollicking superhero adventure.
Mm-hmm. About very small women.
Well, maybe after Ant-Man and the Wasp, it was going to be time for the Wasp to take the controls, get her own show. Or maybe like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids situation, but steampunk because it's the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
None of those things happened.
No, I loved it though. It was so touching. Those little women love each other so much, and their dad, they love their dad even though he's away at war. I really loved it. It made me feel so many things, even though I'm a big man.
Yeah, I mean, all women seem pretty little to me.
I was amazed at how much I was able to identify with the little women, even though I'm a big man.
I still kind of had some trouble, as per the previous film. Did Saoirse Ronan fly one single time in that previous movie, Lady Bird?
No.
I'm just saying, don't bait and switch. Call it normal, unsuperpowered family that loves each other.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so hard?
No.
Greta Gerwig even sounds like a superhero name.
All right, our next movie is
like a lesser DC character.
Our next movie is called Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, this made me kind of rethink my own relationship with a horrible, crazy dictator named Jim Boylan.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Well, I just thought that maybe if he had had a young friend, maybe he wouldn't have been so terrible to everybody.
He does have one. His name is Ryan Archidiakono.
That guy's like 28.
That's still his little young friend.
I guess that's true. God, that's sad. I don't think Coach Jim had any friends. His only friend was authority.
I didn't like this movie very much because as an adult man who still has invisible friends, I think it's very offensive to think that the invisible friendship community would even consider being friends with someone as terrible as Hitler.
That's true. Remember when we got invisible canceled trending on Twitter?
Yes.
When we heard about those Mr. Snuffleupagus allegations.
Yes.
But I'm glad that that turned out. It was a hoax.
It was a big hoax.
It was from Carlos Beltran's niece. Yeah. That's who tweeted it.
All right. Our next movie is from one of the quote-unquote greatest filmmakers of all time. Martin Scorsese's The Irishman.
Oh, I thought you were talking about...
We'll get to that. We're going with that one last, you know.
Oh, okay.
This movie sucks! How dare he talk about the MCU or any Disney property in any way? What has he ever done? Kundun, get a life.
I considered this one a trilogy because I fell asleep three friggin' times.
All I know is Bob Iger should have Martin Scorsese.
I kind of think that they should have done more with the Joey Gallo character, because Sebastian Maniscalco's a pretty good actor, Brooke.
Oh, yeah?
He really embodies the frenetic spirit of that crazy gangster, and he brings that same energy to his Netflix specials.
Triggered.
Have you ever been to Ross? It's crazy, and he knows it. What did you think of Romano's performance?
I mean, everybody loves Raymond. You can't blame him for working with the Disney-hating monster who should
be
thrown.
He gotta get him in the MCU!
Don't even joke about that.
I'm just saying, what if he joins the Black Widow movie and he gets in really good shape? Like that other guy did.
Can you imagine how swole Ray Romano would look if he were in the MCU?
His brother would be so jealous.
It would be so good. Oh my gosh.
Come on, make it happen. Maybe we can get that trending on Twitter.
Maybe. All right. We also saw, of course, the next nominee, Ford v. Ferrari.
You know, it's kind of like you and me. You, the glamour boy, a highly tuned engine, being all showy.
Yeah.
And then there's me, Ford Tough, American, dependable. And
hey,
also,
I'm
do
also
a lot of
American.
Well, I also do a lot of hidden camera pranks where I pretend people are taking a test drive and then I trick them. Like Ford does in those commercials.
You do.
I actually have a tape of those that's longer than Ford v. Ferrari.
Oh, yeah? Is it available for sale anywhere?
Just kind of my old blog in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
But nowhere else.
All right. And then finally, the best movie ever made. Not named Snow White, Avengers Endgame, or The Lion King.
That's our Mount Rushmore.
Or Mary Poppins.
Or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Or Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Oh my god, I forgot about the Broomsticks. Or The Rescuers.
Or The Rescuers Down Under.
Oh wow.
Or
Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Yeah, oh man. Or Pinocchio, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh yeah. Oh, what about Attack of the Clones?
Oh, love it. It's better than this. But anyway, the best movie that is not made by the Disney Corporation or a subsidiary of the Disney Corporation is, of course, The Joker. Oh,
the
my God,
Joker.
11 Academy Awards. I'm really happy that the Academy was able to finally just accept that this is the greatest movie of all time and nominate it for 11 awards.
I really didn't think that they were going to get behind it, but You know, I was on my feet giving it a standing ovation before the credits were over. It took over my life.
I can't believe it. We live in a society.
We had lived in a society for so long and I didn't realize it.
It's so interesting that now I get to think about how the society has forgotten about people like you.
Yeah. Also, this may have been our most twisted Joker of all.
No.
Leto.
Yeah, Leto's most twisted.
He's the most twisted. This was maybe the most human.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely the most human. I've never really thought of the Joker as being anything but the Joker before, but in this I really think of him as Arthur.
Yeah, he's Arthur. I have a question, Brooke.
Yes, I have an answer.
In the Joaquin Phoenix cinematic universe, does Arthur become a rapper?
No.
Okay.
Arthur just becomes Joker. Call him Joker. Introduce him as Joker, Robin.
Okay, but he doesn't retire from acting.
I really like this movie because it's about a man who eventually will murder someone named Robin.
What? That's only one variant of the timeline. I don't think that could... Oh, man. Wow, the world really is twisted, Brooke.
It sure is. All right, but now to talk about the actual...
The biggest award out there.
The award everyone knows matters is, of course, Best Animated Film.
Yeah.
We have 5 nominees this year, which I think it should be expanded to 12.
Every time.
12. Come on, Academy. Yeah. Our first nominee is, of course, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. What did you think?
When I started my journey of dragon training and dragon observing, I never knew that there would be so much yet to be revealed. We saw the visible world. We saw the visible sky.
But now it's hidden.
A hidden world?
I didn't even know there'd be a hidden world.
Who? What a twist. What a film. What a, dare I say it, rollicking adventure.
It was so good. I loved every second of it. There's nothing not to love.
It also reminded me of my own experiences trying to train a large out of control beast.
Who?
You.
No. No. You got me. How dare you? All right. Our next nominee is, of course, I Lost My Body.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what this is? I don't.
It's the story of Naofel, a young man who's in love with Gabrielle. And then a severed hand escapes from a dissection lab, determined to find its body again.
Weird. Sounds twisted.
Yeah, I think this is kind of one of those things that gets a lot of acclaim, and people always want you to talk about it just because it's French and it has weird hands. Mm-hmm. This is the Rudy Gobert of the Oscars.
Oh, it's not going to win. What about Netflix?
It's the Rudy Gobert. It's not going to win the big one.
What? How many screen assists have you had, Robin?
I once actually hit someone with a screen door when I was frustrated at a Knicks practice.
Okay, our next award is, goes, Netflix got its first nominee ever in this category, and it is Klaus.
Wow, finally! An animated Christmas film. How long has Christmas been shut out of the Oscars?
It's true. They always forget to nominate Christmas. How could you forget Christmas? Oscars? Jeez.
But what an incredible voice cast. Schwartzman, J.K. Simmons, Rashida Jones. Mm-hmm. She doesn't work enough. Mm-hmm. Will Sasso. Mm-hmm. I loved his vines. The King of the Vines.
Norm MacDonald.
Nita Margareth Laba. Joan Cusack. I always sympathized with her because she had such an aggressive brother.
Yeah, I understand as an aggressive man why you would do that.
I just thought it was a little bit strange that the inciting incident in a movie that's the origin story of Santa Claus was a postman training academy.
Yeah, very strange.
Like, why would you think that the lazy son of a wealthy postmaster general was a compelling protagonist? I'm already out on wealthy postmaster general.
Anyway, it's not gonna win, so let's move on.
Yeah, get out of here.
Our next movie is, of course, Missing Link.
Oh man,
this has a legitimate shot of winning, I think.
Yeah, people loved Missing Link.
Yeah,
and those people are named Brooke and Robin.
Missing Link is the story of Sir Lionel Frost helping Mr. Link to help find his long-lost relatives in the fabled Valley of Shangri-La. It's a rollicking adventure.
Yeah, it's pretty rollicking. Isn't it stop motion? That's kind of how I play offense.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I stop a lot of emotion.
I stop the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Because I throw it into the hoop and it goes in.
I also make a lot of motions. Mm-hmm. And the refs motions. Get really confused that they foul, that like I get called for a foul and I give them a neatly typed injunction.
Anyway, it's the dark horse in this category and I think it has a chance. But clearly, your front runner is the most anticipated movie of the year, Toy Story 4.
Yeah. Wow, I really thought that we were done with the Toy Story verse after they had a symbolic trip to hell at the end of Toy Story 3. But there was more stories and more toys left. Mm-hmm. They definitely aren't just milking this franchise until it is just a withered husk in a cowboy hat.
I will say, I do think Keanu Reeves as Duke Kaboom was snubbed from getting a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
Cruelly snubbed.
Unfair. Get your shit together, Academy.
They should have put him as a voice actor in Missing Link as well.
I wish my nickname was Duke Kaboom.
Yeah, well, your name is Dookie Kaboom, because you blow up the toilet.
Anyway, what do you think's going to win, Robin?
I think it's going to be Toy Story 4.
I do.
Because Disney owns everything.
It's the best.
Including our hearts.
Yep, and our minds. And our bodies. And our souls. And technically the land my house is on.
Yeah, actually a lot of my clothes are technically Disney property. I didn't really get them assessed at the black market auctions. Mm-hmm. Free. I'm currently wearing some heavily altered pants that used to belong to Don Knotts.
Oh, from Gus? Is it from Gus?
No, it's from Dumpling 2.
Oh, you do love that Apple Dumpling game.
I love Rides Again.
All right. Anyway, that's it for us. Please subscribe to the Roundball Rock Patreon to hear us continue reviewing all of the Disney, everything on Disney Plus. They added more stuff this week.
Yeah, this has really been quite a slog.
It's never ending. We're only up to 2002.
Well, we have a lot to focus on.
We have 18 more years.
Basketball's going to take care of itself. I'm not worried.
Yeah, me either. All right, back to you, Sean and Joey.
Bye, guys.
I think Coach Dave Dufour.
Wow, that guy knows his stuff.
He rules.
Great. That was Brooke and Robin talking about the the best animated film category at the Academy Awards. Dave Dufour, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah,
always a pleasure.
One of our favorites. What would you like to plug today?
Nothing.
At Dave Dufour NBA.
Yeah, at Dave Dufour NBA, which, you can follow me or not. I'm gonna, if you're a Laker fan, maybe don't.
Any advice for French Bulldog owners?
Don't get one.
What if you're making an osso buco? What should you do?
Oh, man. So listen, the wine is the most important part. Don't skimp on the wine. Get a good one. Get a good one. Awesome.
and then as for me, first off, once again, Podstar Weekend. That's right. Here in LA at the Virgil.
Oh, yeah. I heard Thursday. You guys were headlining that.
No, we're not headlining. No.
Oh, no? No?
Who's going to headline over us?
Probably NBA Desktop. That would be my guess.
Never heard of it. I drink a Starbucks. In your face. You're going to start listening and then we're going to brawl.
Anyway, February 13th at the Virgil, 8 p.m. Tickets are available at podstarweekend.com. And then, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on January 14th, I tweeted, I said I was 100% going to the gym tonight, but at 7:15, I put my pajamas on and got in bed. So I'm 100% going to the gym tomorrow.
You should go to the gym. He's having a lot of health problems. Yeah.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. I was trying to think about... Katie Heinel was on a couple episodes ago. I started thinking about basketball feelings and emotions, and I realized that we needed to finally have the world's most depressed band sing about the world's most depressed man. So this is a Cure song about Kevin Love, and it's called Just Like Kevin.
Wow, I would have thought you went with a different one there, but good job, dude.
I was thinking a Nirvana Rudy Gobert song.
No, see, I was thinking it would have been It's Friday, I'm Kevin Love.
Oh, that's not bad. Also, I was thinking of a Killing an Arab version that was just killing yourself. That seemed too dark.
Anyway, that's playing under us right now. Trust the process.
Trust the process. And,
shut it down. Make up more fake stats I can make fun of, please.
Hello, Roundball Rock listeners, Roundball Whoopfuckers, Roundball Wankers, whatever it is. This is Robert Smith of The Cure. We're not particularly fans of basketball in The Cure. Mostly like watching sad French films and videos of animals being rescued from rainstorms. One day when we were hanging out with Jesus Jones, they had an NBA game on the telly and we saw this bloke, Kevin Love of the Cavaliers, and I thought, wow, he's even more depressed than we are. Show me, show me, show me how you set that pick. The one that made you scream at your bros. The one that made you mad at the coach. Threw the ball to Chetty O. Showing up the coaches. Oh, he's on the block, but he don't get blocks. He thinks a fine is funny, cause he's got plenty of money. I definitely feel for Kevin, and I would say that my advice for him is, if you truly are depressed and you're sick of all the people you're playing with, just go and become the guitarist for Susie and the Banshees for one or two years, and then go back to what you truly love, pouting. Punching on a sideline chair, tiny bald spot in his hair. Thinking of all the different teams, I had to make a trade. Why is he still on this team? She said he's gonna pout until he's on a better team. Portland would be the dream. Love getting buckets. Love saying fuck it. Love trapped in Cleveland. Terrifying Colin Sexton. Chugging chocolate milk. It's just like KG. Just like KG. I almost said he's just like a dream, because technically a nightmare is a type of dream. not sure this situation has a cure. Balon whipped him into shape, but Tristan T still eating cake, and J.R. Smith's still texting him, you trying to get the pipe. He finds himself alone, abandoned on a terrible team. He's depressed and they're a mess. Call Dr. Eugene Lundy. Love, losing steadily. Love, drinking heavily. Love, just like Kevin.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.